I'll just be on the call.
This meeting of the Ways and Means Committee to order, and note for the record that a quorum is present. So welcome, happy Monday. Thanks everybody for getting in and getting going so we can get started and process some bills today. And first thing on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for Monday, February 6, 2023. Vice Chair Edelson, do you have a motion?
I move the minute.
All those in favor of the minutes, adoption of the minutes, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. The motion is adopted, or the motion is approved, and the minutes are adopted. And I'm just going to note that we are going to deviate slightly from the printed agenda order, and we're going to take up House File 62 first, and then we'll proceed to House File 30 and House File 55. So with that, welcome to the committee, Representative Nelson. And Representative Becker Finn, would you like to make a motion that House File 62 be re-referred to the General Register?
So moved.
Thank you. And welcome to the committee, Representative Nelson. And you have an amendment, the A8 amendment to House File 62. Would you like to move that first to get the bill in the shape, or what would you prefer?
What number did you say? I've got A7.
Okay, excuse me. Let me double check. Oh, I apologize. So the A8 has replaced the A7. So it is the A8 amendment.
Grab it here. Oops. Okay. That's the same as the A7, so yes.
Okay, wonderful. So I will move the A8 amendment for the bill author. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Oh, pause. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm wondering if the bill's author could explain what this amendment does.
Madam Chair and Representative, what this does is, what, at the last hearing, after the hearing was done in labor, the League of Cities came forward and said they were looking at the bill as it was coming out of labor, and they said that there was some duplicative language. This removes that duplicative language on page 1, line 21, and page 2, line 13. And it also lines it up with the way it is coming out of the Senate. So that's why we're doing the amendment. It takes that language out. All the parties agreed that it was duplicative language, and that try to keep our statutes as clean as possible.
Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So Representative Nelson, so could you point to where that was duplicated?
Representative Nelson.
Line 1, page 21. Get the right copy of the bill here. Yep, get the right copy of the bill here. A line, we're taking or complaint out. Is the way currently the bill currently reads is all data maintained by the board about a charge or complaint, and that's what the charge or the complaint is the same thing. It's duplicative, so removing the or complaint just streamlines it a little bit. And on the second one, page 2, line 13, again, the complaint issued by the board and all data in the complaint, and that's already taken care of up farther up in the other language that's in here. And that was what was deemed to be duplicative, so that's why we're taking out. And again, this lines it up with the way it is in the Senate.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Nelson, could you point, though, to where it's already mentioned the all data in the complaint? Where previously in the bill is that makes this piece duplicative? Because
I'm going to phone a friend, Meg Luger, who from the PERB board.
Great. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record, and then you can proceed with testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Meg Luger-Nicolai. I am the labor representative on PERB. I'm currently the chair of the PERB, and the reason this language is duplicative is that the complaint is already public, so all data in the complaint is the same as the complaint. So it contains all of its data, and that is the reason why we thought that clause didn't need to be there anymore.
Representative Scott.
So thank you, Madam Chair. So just for clarification, is it Ms. Nicolai? Is that what you?
It's Ms. Luger-Nicolai.
Okay, sorry, I didn't. You said it really fast. So are you saying that it's that way in current statute, or it's that way in the bill somewhere previous?
It is that way in the bill. So the bill. Oh, sorry, Madam Chair. I apologize.
You're doing great. Ms. Luger-Nicolai.
Madam Chair, Representative Scott, the language in the amendment said the complaint and all of its data. the complaint is comprised of data. So as long as we include the language referencing the complaint that includes all of the data, you don't need the second clause.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I want to get on the record that this is not going to make non-public any information that is currently public under current statute. So it goes to the courts now. I just want to make sure that in this language that we're not changing anything that ordinarily would be made public.
Ms. Luger-Nicolai.
Madam Chair, Representative Scott, it doesn't. The amendment only affects the bill language as such, and so it would not do that.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. We were moving a little fast there. So, okay, we will go back to the A8 amendment. Any further discussion? All those in favor of adopting the A8 amendment, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say nay. No. The motion prevails and the A8 amendment is adopted. To your bill as amended, Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This is the funding of the of the Public Employee Relations Board. Currently, it's being funded at a very low level. Back in 2014, Representative Lyndon Carlson reconstituted this board. It had been dormant for many years. And the board is designed to handle complaints between the public employees and their public employers. Currently, if there's a complaint, there's a disagreement between those, they have to go to court. That costs money for lawyers on the employer side and on the employee side. This bill is designed by having this board, the board hear these complaints and work them out through mediation, that it'll save money for both the employees and their unions, and it'll save money for the public employers, that be the school districts, the county boards, the city councils, the state of Minnesota. When they have these complaints, that way they'll be able to save money and get the complaints settled quicker through this process. So that's what the board does. Again, Representative Carlson has been trying to do this since 2014, has had struggles with that. When he stepped out of the legislature, he dumped this in my lap and said, here, it's your baby now. So hopefully we can get this passed and through, and we can have Representative Carlson come back and have a signing ceremony with the governor.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. I'll note that there's no fiscal note because the only cost is the appropriation section of the bill. Is that correct?
That's correct, no. Madam Chair.
Great. Discussion to the bill. Representative Farr.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Nelson. So I saw in an earlier version the appropriations for 24 and 25 was $500,000 per year, and now I'm seeing 750. So can you explain the difference?
Representative Nelson.
When the bill was drafted this year, there was an error in that they drafted last year's bill. This is more a closer version of what they feel they're going to need to operate. And so this will be the current year's cost of the bill.
Representative Farr.
And so there are no greater costs than that $500,000 to operate it for the...
No, I'm talking about the 750 is the current, Madam Chair.
Yeah, I got it. $1.5 million for the next 2 years, those 750 per year.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And what this is the cost of employees, salaries, the cost of rent, the cost of, you've got it here, but it's the cost of rent and just the cost to operate. And that's what the 750 represents.
Further discussion? Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, it's been a good run. I've been trying to stop this from being implemented for 8 years, but looks like I was successful for quite some time, and then partnered with the Senate. But it looks like that run will come to an end. If you're in favor of the underlying bill, you should vote in favor of this. If you're against the underlying bill, you should vote against it. And I'll be voting no. Thank you.
Further discussion. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and hopefully we can get it passed into the general. To the general register.
Great. And so with that, Representative Becker Finn renews her motion that House File 62 as amended be re-referred to the general register. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, please say no.
No. No.
The motion prevails and House File 62 as amended is re-referred to the general register.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
So the next bill on the agenda for today is a Ruth Richardson, Representative Richardson bill. It is House File 30. Welcome to the committee, Representative Richardson. Good to see you here today. And I will have a motion from Representative Moeller that House File 30 be re-referred to the General Register.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And you have an author's amendment to the bill, the A4. Would you like to move that amendment now at this time, Representative Richardson?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, I will move the A4 amendment. Discussion to the A4. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. The motion prevails and the A4 amendment is adopted. So, Representative Richardson, to your bill as amended.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House File 30, as amended, is to address the skyrocketing catalytic converter thefts across the state. Currently, State Farm ranks Minnesota in the top 5 for converter theft insurance claims. Most of us know someone who's been impacted, and some of us know multiple people or people who have experienced multiple thefts. These thefts are hurting Minnesotans' pocketbooks as replacement costs can exceed $2,000. There have been recent cases in the news showing organized criminal enterprises, a case out of Otter Tail County, and also recently Minnesota was among 9 states involved in a recent takedown of what the U.S. Department of Justice called a national catalytic converter theft ring with an estimated $38 million worth of stolen converters, which had precious metals extracted and were sold to a metal refinery for more than $545 million. The DOJ worked with not only the metro, but rural counties as well, showing the extensive reach of this crime. I will just do a quick walkthrough of the fiscal note. The fiscal note assumes an annual cost of $298,000 a year. This includes an assumption that the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension will purchase and maintain a system at $100,000 annually, and also will require the hiring of a special agent to be the point of contact for law enforcement related to the audit requirements within the bill as well. At just over $198,000. There were no significant impacts assumed on state, correctional, local governments, or courts.
Thank you, Representative Richardson. Discussion to the bill. We'll go to Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Richardson, trying to get right at it, I guess, and being careful about, but In the bill language, I'm seeing a number of references to how this would be carried out, and I'm just trying to think through the process in my mind. So is it possible with this new language in place, or is this maybe the goal, that you come in with the VIN number, you have the catalytic converter, you bring it to the scrapyard, are they able to check immediately to see if that vehicle has been reported stolen before they're taking that particular catalytic converter in to be recycled?
Representative Richardson.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Heitzman, for the question. So the bill also talks about a waiting period that would be in place. There's a waiting period of 7 days before it could be removed off site, and also 5 days before payment can be made. I think the goal is to get to a point that there is, in fact, a system that can be created that the department is looking at being created. But in lieu of that right now, there are waiting requirements to ensure that we can identify whether something has been stolen.
Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Chair. So, Representative Richardson, you mentioned that Minnesota is, I think you said, in the top 5 in the targeting of catalytic converters, which is an unfortunate number. This bill is obviously trying to get at that. Do we know what other states have done? And I'm not trying to be like somebody else, but if we're reinventing the wheel, I'm just wanting to confirm that if other folks have found a way to work on this, are we following that same model that has been effective somewhere else, or is this something new?
Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Heitzman, for the question. A number of the recommendations that make up this bill come from an international work group. There's an international task force on auto theft, and there was Resolution 2021-2 that a number of these components come from. There are a number of states that have done similar things as a result of that resolution as well.
Representative Representative Grockwell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair and Representative Richardson, my understanding is that Senator Marty is converting a working group with some individuals from the scrap metal dealers to address some of their concerns. Are you going to be participating in those conversations?
Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I will be participating in those conversations. And I'll also note that there have been a number of conversations and a number of task forces leading up to this point as well.
Madam Chair, Representative Richardson, I'll be voting against your bill today, but it sounds like the concerns the scrap metal dealers are bringing forward, I mean, they're not the problem, right? They're not the ones that are the cause of this issue. And so, oh, Edina wants to say something? So as we saw when we the ring out in New Jersey was busted up, you know, reputable businesses are already doing many of these steps. They don't want to be trafficking and stolen material. I would just, again, I'll be voting no on your bill, but I'm hoping that the stakeholder process, this can be addressed before the bill comes up on the floor. But thank you for your work on this. And again, I'm familiar with the concerns that they brought forward, and it seems like their concerns are reasonable. So it should be able to be addressed. Thank you.
Further discussion to the bill. Representative Uwiki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Richardson, I just want to thank you for the work on this bill. And I know a lot of task force and international studies and national studies have been done on this issue. I know I would hazard to guess almost everybody around this table has had somebody that has lost a catalytic converter or knows someone. I know our son lost his fiance lost hers, and then the second time they tried to steal hers, they cut off the muffler by accident, which is a lot cheaper actually to replace. But I'm intrigued on the waiting period, and I know it goes a little far afield about from the fiscal note, but it seems like, has studies shown that the waiting period helps deter the thefts, or being able to make sure for the scrap metal dealers that they can access to see if the car has actually been stolen?
Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Joaquin, for the questions. I think the waiting period serves a couple of purposes. If something is known to be stolen, you then still have access to that before someone is would be unjustly enriched. And also just ensuring that as we're working to create an online system, that it creates another safeguard.
Representative Yoki.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to the author, if I could, Madam Chair.
Yeah,
thank you. Representative Richardson, in I think it is subdivision 1B, you talk about how the scrap dealer is to track things down. I don't see the mention of a database or an interface to a database. How do you plan on achieving that? Is this because obviously that's something I would imagine you want to get done, and I'm just trying to figure out how you plan on getting that done, because there would be a fiscal implication if such a database were to be created or upheld. And I don't see an appropriation there.
Representative Richards.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Nash, for the question. So in the fiscal note, it talks about the assumptions from the department that they would be developing a database at $100,000 a year annually.
Representative Nash.
And Madam Chair, thank you. Well, anyone that knows me here knows that I have a high level of skepticism about our ability to create software. Our track record hasn't been all that great, and I am reticent to dive into something that doesn't have it fairly well spelled out. Simply saying that we'll just create a database does cause some concern, mostly because we've never been able to successfully do it. But would be curious also, is there a training cost, an implementation cost on the other end? Because as Chair Hornstein can attest to, when we do software development and deploy it out to people who are going to be using it in the field, it does come with a tremendous cost for min drive, min lars, min failures. Just want to make sure that we're talking through all that as we do that, because there are unintended consequences and unintended costs that I don't know that the fiscal note appropriately addresses.
Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Nash, for the question. So the fiscal note that has been put together talks about the cost of maintaining a system ongoing at $100,000 a year, and also talks through the work of a special agent being appointed as well. So that's the content of the current fiscal note.
Representative Nash?
I'm good, I guess.
Representative Edelson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess Representative Garofalo, Edina does care, because, you know, on average, I would say about 3 to 4 Cadillac converters are stolen from Edina every week. And I have this nice little advertisement here from a scrap metal company who's buying them. Now, maybe they're in Wisconsin, but it's happening. So I guess that's the other question I have is, if there's any, when we have it happening within Wisconsin, are we going to be able, do you know if the working group's going to be able to work on that? Because it's absolutely happening where surrounding states are also purchasing these scrap metal companies.
Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Edelson, for the question. I would just note that it's happening here in Minnesota as well. I can point to a case in Otter Tail County that illustrates the importance of this bill, where there was an individual going to the same scrap metal dealer once a week, delivering 2 to 3 catalytic converters. Did that with over 150 converters and was enriched to the tune of more than $40,000. So it's happening here as well. So I just think it's important that we don't lose sight of that.
Thank you. Representative Becker Finn.
Thank you, Chair Olson. Just wanted to bring us back to the fiscal note, since this is the Ways and Means Committee, and think that the cost of this is more than worth it. We've been talking about this issue. I know I've been responding to constituents since I was first elected about this issue, and I'm just glad that we're finally to the point where we're going to do something. So even if the bill itself isn't perfect, I think the fact that we're actually going to do something about it instead of just talking about doing something is really important. And I don't think that the cost, you know, it seems completely reasonable, and we would want to be auditing to make sure that we're doing this as well as we can and can improve if needed. So it's a good bill, and I'm really glad we finally get to move this forward. So thank you for your work on this.
Madam Chair.
Representative Joaquin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just want to say, Representative Edelson, thank you. You're more than just a city in Edina, and I'm a proud representative now from the city of Edina as well, and have my own name as well. So I want to thank you for your comments. And thank you for Representative Becker Finn mentioning how long we've been admiring this problem, and this is a good step forward. With that, I'd ask for a roll call.
Lead Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I tried getting us out of here, but we'll debate the bill, I guess. So I do find it interesting that last week I had an amendment in this committee that said if someone's ripping off child care fraud and they're under federal indictment, I said you must stop paying them. And the DFL was outraged. DFL was outraged, no, we can't do that. We have to protect those who are under federal indictment from getting more public funds. Yet in this bill, we see that if someone does, someone makes a technical error, not if they're a fraudster or ripoff artist, but if they make a technical error, now you must suspend their license. That's your words, must. So again, it sounds like this isn't gonna be something that's gonna be signed into law unless there's a stakeholder buy-in from it, so I'm not gonna get too worried about it. But that's why I'm voting no today. And again, I'm sure reasonable people disagree on it. So thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, I'll go Representative Becker Finn, and then we're going to go to the
law. Thank you. I just want to remind folks that Masons and Motives, those rules apply here. We every single day on the floor, we have to remind folks, and those things do apply here in our committee work as well. Thank you.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm going to chime
just
in.
Pause. Everybody, just take it down a notch. I think we're going to just end where we are now and go to the bill author for last word.
But Madam Chair,
Representative Garofalo.
Okay, I want to know what motives I questioned.
Representative Garofalo.
This is the second time she's done this.
Representative Garofalo, we're done and we're moving on. Okay, and we can take this offline.
Madam Chair.
Representative Garofalo.
The first time was on social media.
You are out of order. Representative Garofalo.
Madam Chair.
You are out of order. You are out of order, Representative Garofalo.
Okay. So questioning motives on one side.
Representative Garofalo. I have asked you to stop.
Okay, I'm asking you.
Representative Garofalo, I have asked you to stop.
Okay, I'm asking you one thing.
Representative Garofalo, I have asked you to stop talking, and I will gladly talk to you after committee.
Okay.
I will go to the bill author for the last word on the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have been carrying this bill for a number of years and hopeful that we can finally get this signed into law, and so I would just ask members for support. Thank you.
So Representative Becker-Finn renews her motion that House File, or excuse me, it was Representative Moeller's motion. Representative Moeller renews her motion that House File 30, as amended, be recommended, be re-referred to the General Register. And there was a roll call requested, so there will be a roll call. Ms. Killian, please take the roll.
Chair Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Vice Chair Edelson?
Aye.
Edelson, aye. Lead Garofalo?
No.
Garofalo, no. Representative Akam?
Akam, aye.
Akam, aye. Representative Agbaje is excused. Representative Becker-Finn?
Aye.
Becker-Finn, aye. Representative Freiberg?
Yes.
Freiberg, aye. Representative Gomez?
Gomez, aye.
Gomez, aye. Representative Hassan?
Hassan, aye.
Hassan, aye. Representative Heintzman?
No.
Heintzman, no. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Howard is excused. Representative Cleavorne?
Cleavorne, aye.
Cleavorne, aye. Representative Creshaw?
Creshaw, no.
Creshaw, no. Representative Liebling?
Liebling, aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Moeller?
Aye.
Moeller, aye. Representative Nash?
No.
Nash, no. Representative Knorr?
Knorr, aye.
Knorr, aye. Representative Novotny?
No.
Novotny, no. Representative O'Neill is excused. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Petersburg?
No.
Petersburg, no. Representative Farr?
Farr, no.
Farr, no. Representative Pinto? Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, no.
Schumacher, no. Representative Scott?
No.
Scott, no. Representative Joachim?
Yes.
Joachim, aye. Representative Pinto? Madam Chair, there are 15 ayes, 9 noes, and 3 excused.
On 15 ayes and 9 nays, the motion prevails, and House File 30, as amended, has been re-referred to the General Register. Thank you, Representative Richardson, for your bill and all your work on it. And you have the next bill on the agenda. So House File 55. And I will have Representative Moeller make the motion that House File 55 be re-referred to the General Register.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And we do have an amendment to the bill as well. So Representative Richardson, would you like us to move that amendment first?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay. Yes.
I will move the A5 amendment. The A5 amendment, yes. Yes, the A5. Do you want to describe the amendment briefly, and then we'll move to its adoption?
Yes, Madam Chair. So the A5 amendment deals with the appropriations for the department.
That's right. Any discussion to the A5? All those in favor of the A5 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed, please say nay. The motion prevails, and the A5 amendment is adopted. And with that, if you could please present your bill as amended, Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House File 55, as amended, would establish and maintain an office for missing and murdered Black women and girls. As a nation and state, we are facing an unacceptable crisis of missing and murdered Black women and girls, and the data is simply horrific and serves as the rationale as to why there is a critical and long overdue need for direct investment in addressing this crisis. When we started this conversation at the legislature related to missing and murdered Black women and girls in 2019, there was an estimated 64,000 to 75,000 Black women and girls missing, making it clear that we didn't even understand the full scope of the crisis. In 2020, more than 100,000 Black women and girls were reported missing. While we account for less than 15% of the U.S. population, we make up one-third of missing person cases. Black girls are also less likely to receive Amber Alerts and more likely to be classified as runaways. We are less likely to receive media attention and coverage, and it's no surprise that our cases stay open 4 times longer than cases involving our white peers. Disparities also abound in human trafficking incidents. A 2-year study of human trafficking found that 40% of sex trafficking victims were identified as Black women. And what is very chilling is that convicted traffickers admittedly believe that trafficking black women and girls would land them less time in jail if caught than trafficking white women. In Minnesota, black women are almost 3 times more likely to die of homicide. Across the U.S., at least 5 black women a day were murdered in 2021. This reflects a 51% increase over 2019, the largest increase of any racial or gender group during that period. Furthermore, the number of unsolved homicide cases of black women rose 89% in 2020 and 2021, compared over 2018 and 2019. Again, a far bigger increase than any other demographic group during this period. This bill would invest $1.248 million annually from the general fund to the Minnesota's Office of Justice Programs for the operation of the office. Of that amount, $300,000 a year would be dedicated to community grants, $50,000 would be dedicated to marketing and public awareness campaigns, and the remainder would be related to staffing for case reviews, support cold cases, root causes, data collection, research, training, coordination with law enforcement, state and federal departments, prevention efforts, implementation of a community grant program, coordination with stakeholders, operating a missing person alert program, and support for victims and families, and also advocating for task force recommendations. So with that, Madam Chair, I would stand for questions.
Thank you, Representative Richardson. Discussion to the bill. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to the bill's author, you're rattling off a lot of stats there, Representative Richardson. Did you rattle off just Minnesota-specific data? I heard some national data. Do you have some Minnesota-specific data? Thanks, Madam Chair.
Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Scott, for the question. So in Minnesota, black women are 3 times more likely to die of homicide. We know that we make up less than 7% of the state's population, but we are more than 40% of the domestic violence cases within the state as well.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And did you have the specifics on missing Minnesota black women?
Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Scott. What we know is that there hasn't been specific resources dedicated to determine just how many black women and girls are missing within the United States, and that also has not happened within Minnesota.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Further discussion to the bill. Lee Grafwell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So how are you doing, Madam Chair?
I'm doing great.
Good. I'm doing well, too. Thank you. First of all, I was actually going to say these comments before. I want to thank you, and I want to thank your staff for having a very well-run committee. We had some discussions on our side of the aisle with some of the other committees and staff, and you, your staff has been getting out the materials to us in a timely fashion. All the amendments are getting shared with us. We are finding out information from you and your staff. Before the lobbyists are finding out or we're finding out from other people. So specifically, Mr. Worth, thank you for your work. I know it's not always being easy being a committee administrator, but it would be, I think it may be good if perhaps some other committee chairs and other staff were to maybe take some tutoring from you guys on how to run a committee. That would work well, because not every committee is doing that. So just thank you again for that. Madam Chair, in terms of this bill, I want to make sure my comments are clarified, because I don't need someone going out on Twitter saying I'm in favor of dead black women or dead black girls. We don't need any of those sorts of agendas or questioning of motives. I'll be voting in favor of your bill today, Representative Richardson. I do think it's important to know a couple of things, though. Is first of all, I think we could probably use the existing administrative functions for the existing offices we have to provide this. That being said, it doesn't rise to the level of anyone opposing the bill. Likewise, I did learn something in college, a few things, and one of them is that I once gave a presentation before a class on a book called The Myth of Male Power, and in that class I pointed out that men are 3 times as likely to be murdered as women, and despite that that's a fact, it's interesting that that is challenged. So it's interesting to see the disparities that rightfully occur when you're talking about between white women and black women. The same disparities exist between men and women, that men are 3 times as likely to be murdered. So I'll be voting for your bill today, and would ask members to do the same. Thank you, Representative Richardson.
Further discussion. Representative Richardson, thanks for all your work on this, and you can close this out with the last word. I apologize. Can I hold up? I didn't see Representative Hassan had asked to speak, and I apologize. I missed her on the list. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No problem. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Rep. Richardson, for this bill. It's a very important bill. We know that, you know, we have disparities in this state, and the disparities in, you know, missing and murdered black women are reality. For those of us who are from the black community and who live in this community, these are just not numbers. It's real people. It's people who are related to members of our community. It's loved ones. It's sisters, siblings. It's nieces. So this is just not, you know, stats somewhere for some folks. These are real people that have real impact in our lives. So I want to thank you for all your work. I want to thank you for bringing this bill. And I'll be happy to be voting yes to this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. And I missed one other person. I apologize. Usually we end with the lead and then the bill author, but this was my fault. So Representative Nash.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And for folks watching at home or listening, you often hear us squabble and talk about partisanship, but the task force was actually very bipartisan. And our leader, Damuth, was part of the task force. This is one of those things that we just should be doing and want to get done. And sometimes when we ask questions, it's because we feel passionately about making sure that maybe details that we feel should be in there from a bipartisan bill are included. So just want to make sure that everyone knows that we don't always fight like cats and dogs. But on things like this, I think that we can all support this. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And with that, really, truly, thank you for your work, Representative Richardson, and you can close us.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, for prioritizing hearing this so early within session. And I just want to lift up Representative Hassan's words, because behind these numbers are real people and real families that have been impacted and who have been devastated and who have been coming to the Capitol for multiple years in order to get this bill across the finish line. And I just think it's going to be very important that there be dedicated resources, because we've heard too many stories of people feeling like they're all alone when they are facing some of the worst days of their lives, either because of a missing person case or a homicide case. And I think this office will be a way to build bridges to ensure that we are doing the work of addressing cold cases. We're working on prevention, and we're providing supports for victims and families. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Richardson. And with that, Representative Moeller renews her motion that House File 55, as amended, be re-referred to the General Register. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The motion prevails, and House File 55, as amended, has been re-referred to the General Register. Thank you so much, Representative Richardson. And with that, we don't have any further business, and we will likely have a meeting next week, Monday the 20th, and so look forward to seeing you then. And with that, we are adjourned.